Oh, I'm so glad. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. I'm hell proof.
Amen.
Oh, that makes a Pentecostal mad. Amen. So why? I'm eternally secure in Christ.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Yes. Amen.
My sin will never be charged to me. Because it was charged to the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. Amen. When God looks at my sin, he sees me hanging on a tree. Amen. When he looks at me, he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been made the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now you see Cliff, God sees Christ. When you look back at Calvary, a lot of people think they see Christ, but there's Cliff. My sin has been paid for in Christ Jesus.
Right.
You know what's wrong with Christianity? You don't understand the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Boy, if they ever get a hold of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, you'll be free.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It's good there.
You know what your problem is? You look at yourself and you look at your sin instead of what he did.
Amen.
And then you sin and you grieve the Holy Ghost and then you think you lost it or never had it. Maybe you don't understand the tripart being. Your body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Well, let's get off of there. Let's go to the first book of carnality. How come you're not turned there yet? Didn't he tell the Corinthians they were carnal?
Yeah.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians. He said, I could not speak unto you as spiritual because you're carnal.
Right.
Amen. That's one thing about the charismatics. Amen. It's a carnal bunch, fleshly bunch, right? Man, I ain't getting no amens on that. You guys too, you understand where we're coming from?
Right.
Amen. You ought to go online and listen to my messages on tongues. I know how to fire them Pentecostals up, amen. You know what they are? They're barbaric, babbling babies, amen. That's what they are. They're babies, right? That's what he says, 1 Corinthians, right?
Right.
He said, I couldn't speak on the spiritual, but it's on the babes. See, they're babies, right? And tongues, for people that don't understand the Bible, tongues is vain babbling, what the Pentecostals do.
Right?
Right?
Yep.
Because the tongues in Acts chapter number 2, this ain't the message tonight, but the tongues in Acts chapter number 2, they heard them speak in their own language where they're born.
Yep.
They understood it.
Right.
There is no unknown tongues in Acts 2.
Amen.
There's no baptism in the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians 14.
Right.
And the key word in 1 Corinthians 14 is the word understand. Look it up. Study 1 Corinthians 14. Look up understanding. Amen. It'll throw that whole thing out the window. Right? Tongues movement started by women. Did it or did it not? Right? Amy Michael McPherson, right? And Azusa C. Street and all that, right? Hello. Amen. The charismatic, vain babbling. Blah, 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 blah. Amen. The Porky Pig talking in tongues. Right? Hello. Hey, man.
Yep.
Right? Hey, Elijah made fun of him. Can I?
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
Hey, man. And you look at it over there, and you look at what that book says. He says, I'll pray with my understanding. Amen. I'll sing with my understanding.
Yep.
Amen. 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 Well, I don't know why I got on all that, but maybe somebody needed it. Maybe you're fooling around with some Pentecostal junk you shouldn't be fooling around with. Amen? Amen. That's a corrupt cult. People following a bunch of garbage. Amen? The charismatics, they really messed up your Bible, and they messed up a lot of Christians, and they messed up a lot of people, and there's a lot of Baptists getting messed up in the charismatic doctrine because they don't know how to rightly divide their Bible and study the book. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. So if you come to hear a great, excellent speaker tonight, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Amen. 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 Declaring unto you what? Come on, you can help me. Testimony who? Of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. Do you know Christ crucified? Let me ask you a bigger question. Are you crucified? with Christ.
Yes, sir.
Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Are you crucified?
Amen.
You know what the problem is, bunch of Baptists? They ain't crucified. Amen. What's that mean? You ain't dead to self. That's why everybody and everything bothers you. You know a dead man's never been bothered by pornography?
Nope.
A dead man's never been tempted with a cigarette? A dead man's never been bothered by anybody gossiping about him, calling him names? Find out how dead you really are.
Right.
You need to be crucified.
Amen.
Your problem's not getting resaved. Your problem is getting crucified.
Right. Come on now.
Hello, amen.
Yep.
Right? Hold your place there. Turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6. Look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save where? In the cross. Right? Of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know what happened when I got saved? God ruined me. I've been ruined. I am crucified with Christ. Positionally, I'm in Christ.
Right.
Amen? There's a difference between you're standing and you're state. I don't know why I'm getting on all this.
Good.
You got a position in Christ. In Christ, I'm 100% righteous. You with me?
Yep. Yes.
Over here, conditionally, I may be mad, angry, upset, bitter, hateful, mean, arrogant, proud. But in the spirit, I'm still in Christ. In Christ, I'm 100% righteous, holy, sanctified. Amen?
Amen?
What happens now is now my condition in my Christian walk eventually has got to match my position. Now I'm saved and you see all the fleas, you see all the flaws, you see all the problems, and I got an old nature that just wants to rise up that don't realize I'm crucified in Christ yet. But I've been spiritually circumcised, Colossians chapter number 2, amen? My old nature's been cut loose, amen? My body's dead now to Christ in sin, amen? My spirit's been regenerated, Titus chapter 3:5, and now my soul is saved. I'm a tripart being, and a spiritual circumcision, operation of God, made without hands, transpired when I got saved. Now, you ain't told my body that yet.
Yeah.
It's not I that sinned, but sin that what?
Dwelleth
in me, see? The problem's my old nature. And what I got to do is learn how to die to the old man and become more like the new man.
Right.
Christ is the new man, right? You have an old man. You have a new man, Jesus Christ, and now you got the inner man, the real you. You're a spiritual schizophrenic. Now, the inner man wants to live for God. The old man says, we ain't reading our Bible, we ain't praying, we ain't going to serve God, we ain't going to live for God. And I want some tobacco, and I want some booze, and I want to hear some cussing, and I want a boogie-woogie and dance. And the new man says, no, we ain't doing that. And well, you're a brand new Christian. You can't do that. And there's a war and a battle going on.
Yes,
till you get home to heaven.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And the key is, you reckon that sucker dead, Romans chapter number 6. And you learn how to walk by faith in the Spirit of God and deny that stinking flesh. And the more you do that, and the more you're in your Bible, and the more you pray, the more sanctified you'll get, the more holy you'll get, and you'll draw a little closer and a little closer, and sooner or later, amen, you're walking one with Christ.
Amen.
And your profession will match your possession.
Yes.
But the problem is, too many people yield to their flesh, and then somebody will say, well, you never got saved because you got in the flesh. Puke. Amen. Hello? Time to run the aisles now, ain't it? You think you'd enjoy that victory, wouldn't you? Who put you in bondage? Who taught you lies that you'd be messed up and not understand the two natures and you can celebrate the victory that's in Jesus Christ? You know what Christians don't know? They don't celebrate the victory that's in Jesus Christ. You know what they do? They let their flesh and their past haunt them. And they don't get to enjoy the real crucified life because they don't realize in Christ I'm crucified. In Christ I'm made alive. In Christ I got life and life everlasting. And what they do is they wake up in the morning and they look at that rotten old flesh, that damned nature. And until you die and go home, you'll battle that old Adamic nature. Amen. And your biggest enemy is not the world. Your biggest enemy is not the devil. The biggest enemy is you. And you got to learn how to have that sucker crucified and nailed to a tree. Amen. Quit making excuses and blaming the old man when you got a sorry, rotten attitude and you don't know how to implement the crucified life of Christ. Quit blaming everybody else and everything and submit and say, God, I'm not what I'm supposed to be. I'm not yielding to you. I am not a crucified Christian. So I don't know how to walk in the resurrected power of God. You know what you're supposed to do every day? You're supposed to look at sin and say, sin, I'm dead to you. Now I'm yielding my members to you, Lord, as those that are alive from the dead. Did you ever see yourself alive from the dead? Have you ever seen yourself in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ? Or you're still tucking around a corpse and you keep dragging that thing around? You realize he's nailed on a tree and he's been dead, and you got to take that life and accept that crucified life and allow that cross, amen, to slay that old man that you have so much trouble with.
Yep.
Until you get victory over that old man, you're going to stumble over everything that comes across your path. And you wonder what's wrong with you, and you make a profession of faith, another profession of faith, and tell you never were saved. It's because you don't know how to deal with the old man. Hello. Amen, amen, amen.
Yep.
I know what I'm talking about. Do you understand the tripart being? Do you understand the old nature? Do you understand the... Amen. Look at something. Let's go. Let's turn. We'll get off the message tonight. I don't know why God steered me this way. 1 John chapter 3. It wasn't until I understood, Brother Eric, crucified life. And I started reading some men about the crucified life and how I had to die to me. You know what my biggest problem was? You know what I was wrestling with? Me, 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 me.
Right.
Amen. Every time a preacher get up, you're going to hell. Oh, man, I'm getting the altar. Amen. Hello. Let me ask you a question. When it comes to getting saved, how much faith you got to have? I'm serious. I mean, how much? Mustard seed. Let me ask you this. You know what these preachers preach, especially if you don't have 100% faith in Christ and you only came to them and you only had 98.5, you didn't get it because you didn't have 100% faith. Now there's other preachers preaching out there. You know what? You got to hang on, hold on. You got to hold on to your faith. Amen. It's all about how much faith you have. And if you don't have the faith, well, guess what? It's not how much faith you have. It's in whom you put your faith in.
Yes,
I put my faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's up to Him to save me. It's up to Him to keep me. Amen. People sit back and say, today he loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. I cussed. He don't love me. I said a bad word. Got mad. Smashed my thumb in the drawer. Said some things I shouldn't, so I probably wasn't saved. Now I feel guilty because I sinned against the just and holy God. So maybe I never was saved. So now I got to get resaved. It's a bunch of junk, man. You got an old nature, man. Own up to it. Said you're just a sorry, rotten flesh bag and you need to be crucified. Amen. Look at 1 John. He that committeth sins what? Verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8. He that committeth sins of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, he might destroy what? That's what I want to do tonight. I want to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
I hate him. Do you hate him? I hate the devil. You know what the problem is? There's too many Christians that love the devil and get along with him. And you know what? If you're dating a lost man, and I'll tell you something, your father-in-law is a devil.
Yeah.
And if you're dating a lost girl, your father-in-law is a devil. Amen. Somebody says, the devil never gives me problems. Well, he's not going to give anybody problems that's going the same direction he's going.
Right. Yeah, come on.
Amen. Ain't we having revival yet? Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, what? What's it say? Are you born of God? Are you born of God?
Yep.
Do you sin?
Yes.
Not I that sin. Sin at what? Well, then, if you've been saved, it's not you that sins, then it's the old Bruce. So you got an old Bruce, you got a new Bruce. Right? Who's in control? Who's running you? You gonna let the old man wake up in the morning and say, "Ah, oh, I think I'm gonna take this life back, come off the cross, and I'm gonna tell Ireland how to live"? Or is Bruce gonna get up and kneel down and say, "Dear God, I reckon myself to be dead on the sin today. I realize the old Bruce could get in the way and mess everything up, so I reckon myself dead on you, and you, my members, as those that are alive from dead, that Christ may be in me, and I choose to walk in the Spirit this morning." See, choosing to walk in the Spirit is a choice.
Yep.
Most people never choose to walk in the Spirit, and then they get in the flesh, and then they turn around, and now their whole life is in a spiritual tailspin. Because they never learned how to reckon themselves dead, and they never seen themselves alive in Christ, 100% made righteous, that the inner man cannot see it. Why? Look at it. Because it's seen what? Look at it. What's it say? Huh? Look. For his seed remaineth where? There ain't nobody ever going to take that seed out of my heart. Jesus Christ is a seed, Galatians.
Yep.
Right? And he is the seed of God. And he came into me, and that seed remaineth in me. I cannot see it because I'm born of God. But I got an old nature again. Can you learn how to rightly divide that? Most people can't rightly divide that. Amen. People are a mess. You better learn how to rightly divide that. The devil play you like a cheap mandolin.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 I ain't getting no amens on that. Am I getting a bunch of flat tires here tonight? Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. I don't know what that's for, but you guys can take it to the bank, get on your knees, pray to God, and ask him if I told you the truth. Amen. Amen. You know what I found out? I had a problem with me. And it wasn't until I realized I was crucified in Christ that I began to get the victory. And in Christ, I am sinless. But this flesh will never, ever be good. You can cut the hair, you can bathe it, put lipstick on it, you can put spray for perfume and cologne. Amen. You can get in front of that mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most beautiful of them all?" And kiss that thing all day long. You ain't going to change that corpse.
Right.
Amen. That thing's wicked as hell. It's going to burn in hell. Amen. And it's a device the devil wants to use, and you got to die to it. My pastor get up and look in the mirror every morning. He said, "By God's grace, nobody's going to look at you today. Nobody will see Craig Lovell. You got to learn to fall on that sword, die to yourself, and realize that's the problem."
Yeah.
Until you learn that's the problem and learn how to be a crucified Christian, and every day of your life, you ask God to crucify you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "I die daily."
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
"For I know that dwelleth in me, dwelleth no good thing." Boy, until you accept that, you're going to struggle the rest of your Christian life all the way home. And you're going to let preachers beat you up because you ain't figured out the crucified life. Better get a hold of that thing. Amen. I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ and him" what? "Crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to" what? "Naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." I'd like to preach for a little while tonight, get done about 10.
Come on, brother, you preach.
Lord, if I'd only known it was you. Father, we need your help. I just plead that precious blood to be able to get across this message tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, if I'd only known it was you. They had no idea who they were dealing with. Amen? Amen. They had no idea. Let's look in 4:18. Ephesians 4:18. Why didn't they know? Why didn't they know it was him? They had the Bible. They had the scriptures. They had the prophets. They had the witnesses. I mean, even when John the Baptist showed up, said, "Art thou the Christ?" Right? The wise men came, said, "Where is he that's born of the Jews? King of the Jews? Where's he at?" I mean, they had witnesses, they had glimpses, they had the prophets, they had the scriptures, amen. They had Moses. Amen. When John the Baptist baptized, said, "Art thou that prophet?" What? Deuteronomy 18:15. Moses said to be a prophet like it unto him. That's Jesus. Amen. How come they didn't know it? Amen. They thought, "Hey, they John the Baptist, art thou Elias? Art thou that prophet? Or I mean, who are you?" They knew Christ was coming. The woman at the well. "We know the Messiah is coming." He said, "He that speaks of thee is he." Right? Amen. I mean, they had the witness. They knew he was coming. But why didn't they know it? Amen. Maybe Ephesians 4:18. Amen. "Having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart."
Amen.
Ignorance. You know, ignorance is no excuse. Amen. You know what people are relying on today? Ignorance. One of Paul's favorite sayings is, "He that wants to be ignorant, let him be ignorant still." I would not have you to be ignorant brethren. I would not have to be ignorant brethren. I would not have to be ignorant brethren. I almost named my church Ignorant Brethren Baptist Church. There's so many people that are ignorant. You know what Peter says? They're willfully ignorant.
Yes. Yep.
You know what people want to do? "If I don't know, I'm not accountable." That's a lie. You bought a lie to the devil. You're accountable. Amen. And everything I've been telling you tonight, you need to get in that book and check me out. See if I'm lying to you. Back it up.
Yep.
Amen. You know what our problem is? We listen to preachers too much instead of checking out what God says and getting in our closets and say, "God, what's this book say?"
Yes, sir.
Ignorance. Right? You know what he says in Acts 17:30? He said, "This ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to." One time God allowed ignorance. One time God allowed them to worship idols and see all that stuff. But he said, "Now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Amen. Ignorance wasn't an excuse. Number two, neglect. Why didn't they know? They neglected it. It says, "How shall we escape when we neglect what? So great a salvation." Can I give you another one? Psalms 10. We're going to hurry up, try to get through these introductional points, which takes a few hours, and get to the message. Amen. You guys come to get in tonight, right? Amen. I want to help you. If you'll let it, this message will change your life. Amen. Psalm 10. Notice what it says in verse 4. "The wicked." See that? Psalm 10:4. "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God." Why didn't they know? Pride. Them guys were so full of pride, they didn't want to know that it was Jesus Christ. They didn't want to think about God being manifest in the flesh. They had a religion and they're afraid he was going to upset it. And he did when he started overturning tables. Amen. Kicking out the money changers. Yep. Taking a whip and going through there and whipping them. Amen.
Yep.
Right? Amen. They didn't know him because of ignorance. They didn't know him because of neglect. They didn't know him because of pride. You ready to buckle your seatbelt? I'm going to say something, you ain't going to like. Turn to Jeremiah. He said, "How do you know you ain't going to like it?" "Because I don't like it." "Hey, Brother John, I'm telling you, this message, this verse right here changed my life. I'm about to show you, and I don't like it." I love the Bible. There's things in the Bible I don't like, Brother Wilbur. I don't like what I'm about to read to you. Amen. I'm being honest. You tell me after church if you like it. Verse 4, Jeremiah 9:4. Take heed every one of his neighbor. Trust you not in any who. Who? What do we call each other around here? Brothers and sisters, huh? What about your physical flesh and blood? Trust you not in who? Any brother. For every brother will utterly what? Supplant. And every neighbor will walk with slanders. Oh, I don't like that. Do you like that? You my brother and friends? Bible told me not to trust you. Told you not to trust me. You my brother and friends? Not to trust you, and you're not to trust me. Right? I'm not to trust you. Why? You're supplant. You got the capability with that dual nature to undermine me and hurt me. And I got the dual nature to hurt you. But see what happens when church splits happen, somebody gets hurt, somebody undermined, somebody supplanted, somebody did a brother wrong, somebody lied.
Come on.
And they ain't got the spiritual fortitude and insight to see it was the old nature, not the new nature. And they'll blame the old Bruce because he got the flesh preaching. And they'll never see the new crucified Bruce that loves Jesus Christ with all his heart and wouldn't hurt you for now. But just like Moses, it went ill with Moses, so he spake unadvisedly with his lips and smote the rock. Moses could take that back, he did. Why? Because we're flesh. Every brother's capable of undermining you and hurting you. You know what you got to do? You got to look past that. You see what it says? I don't like what I just read to you. I don't like what I'm fixing to read to you. Look what it says. Verse 5. Amen. Look at it. They will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak what? The truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and wearied themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. I work with a bunch of Christians. A bunch of them went to the Bible and stayed with me. You know what I got to do all the time? Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Amen. Every brother. Those verses. You work with a bunch of Christians, you're going to learn some things. One thing working with lost people, another thing working with a bunch of Christians. Bible-believing Christians know how to use the sword on you. Amen. Get out there strong, like Abishai and Joab. Get out there. Come on, you feel good today? Come on, let's all stab each other, brothers. I'm telling you. We don't want to see that part of Christianity, do we? You don't want to think about the person sitting next to you deceiving you. Can I show you how far they'll go to deceive you? Can I help you? Or am I going to hurt you? Can you handle it? Can I give you some strong meat tonight? I got a friend who was led to Jesus Christ by a soul winner. Had a beautiful wife. The soul winner was coming over to disciple and stole his wife. Wasn't that nice? In Jesus' name, what did that brother do? Slander. Deceived him. Stole his wife. They got with him to tailspin, got out. He had one eye black. He was a Marine. He got one eye black 7 times in bars. And God was chasing him down. And every time he'd go to the jail, he'd walk in. The jailer said, you go here, you go here, you go there. And every time he went in there, there was a bunk that had a King James Bible. Some guy professing to be saved stole his wife. Professed to be a brother. Better be watching who he's watching. Better be careful. There's preachers falling all over this land. You better be careful when you put your faith in.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I lived a mile from a church where that preacher was embezzling money. Went to jail for it. Amen. I'm telling you, you don't know. Well, he wears a suit and tie, got a nice haircut, got a lovely wife, comes walking in, got horns, you don't see the tail sticking out. Hello. There's some people who know how to talk a good talk. You better be careful. You better be crucified with Christ. And you better pray they're crucified. Yep. Amen. And you better be willing to be able to forgive somebody when you see them get in the flesh.
Right.
I don't like this. Maybe through deceit they didn't know him. Amen. John chapter 9. I'm just giving you some reasons why they didn't know him. Deceit. You know, a lot of people don't know Jesus Christ today. They're deceived. They think water in the baptistry will save them. They think eating a wafer will save them. They think wearing funny underwear and pedaling a bicycle will save them. Amen, amen.
Yep.
Right? Hello, they do.
Hello.
I had a guy, I preached against the Masons down in Kentucky, and I was preaching against them Masons. You know, the God of Lucifer, God of the Masons is Lucifer. And the 32nd, 33rd degree Masons, they make an oath to Lucifer. Amen. But they think because they do a bunch of religious things that the church should be doing, that somehow that exempts them and they're self-righteous. They think they're going to get to heaven with their little apron. Because Adam had an apron. But that apron was self-righteousness. And he pulls me outside. I got something to talk to you about your preaching. And he's got his arm on a pew. And I said, what? He goes, point is Masonic ring. When I got done with him, he said, you sure know a whole lot more than I do about it. Amen, amen, amen. You know what? There's a bunch of Masons in Baptist churches.
Yep.
They got a holy Bible out there with a Masonic emblem on it with a bunch of junk in it, and people are deceived thinking it's a Christian organization because the Masons counterfeited a Bible. They'll use a King James Bible, but they'll put their junk in it. You better be careful. Deceit. Deceit. They think they're okay. Amen. Well, I help the Shriners, you know, I give to the hospitals here and I do all these good things. Well, I'm glad you're self-righteous. Amen. Right? John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared who? The Jews. And the Jews had already agreed that if any did confess that he was the Christ, that he should be put out of the synagogue. You know why they didn't know him? Fear. You know why you won't witness? Fear.
Yep.
You're afraid to lose your job, afraid to lose your wife, afraid to lose a friend. Amen. Afraid to lose your position in life.
Well,
I understand all about that fear. When I got in, man, I had to go talk to my big boss in TGNY Warehouse. And I went in and I shut the door and I said, leave your stuff. Can I give you something? Gave him a gospel tract. And I said, I got right with Jesus Christ. You're born again. I'd like to tell you about him. Thinking the whole time I'm going to lose my job. My second boss there was Tommy Olivares. Amen. He was a Mexican. He was a Catholic. And I got to go witness to him.
Amen.
Amen. Then I got to go witness to Gary Finley, the foreman. And then I started witnessing all those people around there. Amen. And I went around to all the black guys. Amen. And I offended and did wrong. And I went and shook their hands. I said, will you forgive me? I got right with Jesus Christ. Amen. They were burning a 6'7", 285 pound black guy. I shook his hand and said, Vernon, would you forgive me? And he had a stuttering problem. He goes, you ain't right, man. Amen. That's the best compliment I ever had. Amen. Had to go all the way back around. Man, listen, we're fixing to have a civil war, man. We're just fixing to fight it out. Meet another guy named Mike. We were getting that hatred brewed up. Amen. Before this Democratic Party getting all this stuff stirred up and Black Lives Matter, we were stirring it up. Hello? When I got right with God, God said, go around and ask all them guys to forgive me. You know what I was? I was scared. You know what I had to do? I had to submit to Jesus Christ and submit my fears to Him and let Jesus Christ take care of it. That turned out to be a good blessing. I learned some things to be able to look those guys in the eyeballs and ask them to forgive me. Now I love them. I've led more black guys to Christ than I ever have white guys.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I've had a bunch of them black guys in jails on their knees weeping and crying. Coming to Christ. Amen. You know why people don't do things? They fear. Amen. They fear in being put out of the synagogue. Amen. The fear of man brings a snare. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I got a few more and then we'll get into the meat of the message. This is introduction. Why didn't they know it was Christ? Ignorance, neglect, pride, deceit, fear. How about this one? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside what? every way and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, amen, the race which is set before us. Let me ask you a question. What's your besetting sin? What do you keep tripping over? What's your problem? How about if we call your wife and ask her what your problem is? My wife knows all my flaws, amen? So do my kids. Amen? What's your besetting sin? What trips you up? Can I tell you what that passage is telling you? The sin is unbelief. You don't believe it? What's Hebrews 11 about? Huh? Faith. A whole chapter on faith. By faith, through faith, 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 faith. Guess what Hebrews 12 is? Let us lay aside every sin and deep. There are every weight in what? They sin. Look at Hebrews 3. Look at Hebrews 3. A lot of people don't believe unbelief's the sin. Can I tell you this? Every sin in a Bible-believing church comes through unbelief. And the reason why you don't become what God wants you to be is because of unbelief. And that man in Mark chapter 9 said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Amen. Watch this. Every person that's ever left your church is because of unbelief. You said, I don't believe it. Watch it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief departing from who? See why people get out of church? Unbelief. You see why somebody will go out and drink? They don't believe what that book says about drinking. You know why people go out and smoke? Why? Because they don't believe what that book says about taking care of your body and being holy.
Yep.
Amen. You know why women run around half naked and expose their body to men out there? Because they don't believe what that book says about holiness. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know why people cuss and tell dirty jokes? Because they really don't believe what that Bible talks about evil speaking and corrupt communications.
Right.
Amen. They don't sit back, and you know why they watch Hollywood and all that junk? Because they got a wicked mind, they got wicked imaginations, and they want to feed that thing, and so they're watching that kind of stuff, and they're fueling that wicked imagination, and at night when they lay their head on the bed, amen, they're dreaming about a bunch of junk in their heart. Why? Unbelief. They don't believe what that book says. Every sin you commit in that Bible is because of unbelief. You really don't believe that book. I don't care what your sin is tonight. Whole big thing comes down to you really don't believe God. You got nothing to do with salvation. Amen. You can be a walking, you can be a saved person and still live in unbelief. Hello? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about your Christian walk. You know what the Bible tells parents to do? Amen. It says, bend that little rascal over, take that rod, and drive the hell out of him. Well, I'm not going to do that. The Bible says you don't love them then.
Right. That's right.
Right? There's dads who don't believe in taking the rod and switching their children. They're the same man. They just don't believe what God said when it comes to child discipline. Right?
Yep.
Amen. The Bible tells a woman to submit to her husband and obey what? In everything. She said, I ain't going to do that. Who's he telling me what to do? I'm going to do what I want to. He wants any sugar around here. Hey, man, I tell you, I'll control the bedroom. Because I'm going to control the purse strings. I'm going to do what I want to do. If he wants some sugar... Look at you men ain't saying nothing.
Yep.
Got me shouting, swinging from the rafters. Hey, amen. Get your manhood back. Right? Amen, right? Hello? We want to criticize some guy who wants to go pick up a hooker on the street. Wonder why he wants to go pick up a hooker on the street. Because there's a sign on the bedroom door that says closed. I got a headache. You liar. Don't you know lying's wrong? Don't you know that your body's his body? And you're to show due benevolence? How do these women think they can control the home by controlling that room? You said, I can't believe you're saying what you're saying. I can't believe you'll treat your husband that way. Man, we're having revival tonight, brothers. Woo! Unbelief. Right? Hello?
Yep.
Well, I keep believing, bro. This
No? Ask me later.
How about your husbands loving her?
Yep, come on now.
Does Christ love the church?
Yep.
Unconditional. Well, I gotta make her submit. Harold Lee preached the message how to make your wife submit and love her. Maybe if you did love her as Christ loved the church, maybe some business would be picking up around the house. See, there's a lot of men that put their coon dog head of their wife, and their shotgun, and their fishing rod, and their golf clubs, and their cars, and everything else ahead of their wife. And their golf wheels, and hunting wheels, and baseball wheels. And... Hello, amen. I ain't getting no amens on that. I must have really run over a box of nails somewhere along the road.
Thought them ladies be swinging from the rafters, amen. Right? Love them unconditionally. So we're having revival. Lord, if I'd only known it was you. Unbelief.
Good.
Loyalty. Amen. Luke 14. It won't take us long to get in the meat of the message once I get there, but I've got a long introduction. Amen. We've got to turn some sod over.
All right, come on.
Verse 18, Luke 14, 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto them, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Pray have me excused. He put his land ahead of God. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I pray to go prove them. Amen. I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. He put his labor ahead of God. Another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. He put love ahead of God. You know what people like to do? They like making excuses.
Yep.
Amen. They're loyal to the wrong things. Well, I've been in revival, but, you know, I got a bowling league, or I got softball. I was down in Mississippi, and I preached revival, and I preached a whole week on unbelief. And then I preached one night on worse than an infidel. Worse than an infidel. Can you imagine that? And then I said, you know, if you really believe God, you'll be here all week during the revival, and you won't be bowling, you won't be playing softball. And on Friday night, that preacher stood up and apologized to me for his church because they were on the ball diamonds and they were at the bowling alleys, and they weren't attending the revival. That was one of the worst feelings I ever had, to see that preacher stand there and confess to me, apologizing for his church. They all made excuses. Their bowling league was a little bit more important. Their softball team was a little bit more important. Isn't that sad? People got the wrong loyalties.
Right.
You know what Moses said? He said, I'd rather enjoy the suffering with the people of God than the pleasures of sin for a season. You got to make choices, folks.
Yeah.
Amen. He knew for envy they delivered him. Amen. And then some people, they were just blind. Amen. Whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Amen. And the Lord said, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. They'll both fall in the ditch. Again, 1 Corinthians 2:8. Lord, had I only known it was you. Let me ask you this question. If you knew it was Jesus Christ, would you have crucified him? If you would have known that was the darling Lamb of God, God manifested in the flesh in that period of time, would you have took the nail, drew back and drove his spike into his hand? Would you have been that Roman soldier and took and just threw that head of nine tails in there and jerked it back and ripped his flesh? Would you have been that guy that come up and plucked his beard off his face, spitting it? Would you have done that if you had known it was him? You think that guy would have done that? You think they would have put a blindfold on him and smacked him and said, hey, who prophesied? Hit thee! Christ, who hit thee, prophesied, mocked him, hell, the king of the Jews. You think they would have done that if they'd known who he was? God, manifested in the flesh, the creator of all mankind, their maker. Do you think they would have put a crown of thorns on his head and begin to blaspheme, curse him, mock him, and then drive a nail in his feet, put him up in the air, and now he's got to support himself on those nails, and to get a breath, he's got to push up
Amen. And take a breath as he slumps over again, and he's kind of hanging in there bleeding and dying for me and you, and he's got to push up again to get a breath. You think if they'd have knew that was God Almighty, they'd have done that? Lord, if I'd only known it was you, you would have never had to be born in a stable. I would have given you my motel room if I'd been doing it with you. You wouldn't have to be born in a manger. Lord, if I'd known it was you, I'd have never run you out of town when you was a little boy. Lord, if I'd known it was you, I would have listened to you. If I'd known it was you then, Lord, I would have been baptized by John the Baptist. Lord, if I'd known it was you, I would have followed you. I would have delivered you. I would have helped you. Lord, if I'd known it was you. I didn't know. I had no idea. I didn't know who they were dealing with. Notice what it says in 1 Thessalonians. Lord, if I'd known it was you. Things have been different, Lord, if I would have known it was you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Maybe this will change something for you. Verse 13, for this cause we also thank God, we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Lord, if I'd have known it was you, I thought it was Pastor Bruce. I thought it was Pastor Bruce's opinions and thoughts. And I thought his wife was manipulating him to say things from the pulpit. I mean, how dare we? I mean, Lord, if I'd known it was you, I would have submitted to the idols. If I would have known it to you, I'd listen to John Ashwood. If I'd known it was you, I'd submit to Brother Eric. If I knew it was you, I'd listen to Brother Parks. But I just thought it was a man getting in the flesh. Lord, I never thought that you would send a preacher. And if God had to be accountable as if it was you talking to me.
Right.
If I had known it was you, Lord, I would have responded to the preaching. If I'd have known it was you, Lord, it wasn't a preacher just trying to drum up somebody to go to work for him and get off his lazy butt, I would have got out there and done something. If I'd have known it was for you. If I'd known it was for you, I'd have painted the walls. If I'd known it was for you, I'd have planted the flowers. If I'd known it was you, Lord, I'd be here all night long taking care of this place. If I'd known it was you, God, I'd be out witnessing and telling others. God, if I knew it was you, but I thought it was man. If I'd only known it was you, Lord. Let's look at it in action. Let's look at Acts 5. Maybe you'll view people different the rest of your life from tonight. In Acts chapter 5, Peter's taking up an offering. You guys are blessed. I mean, really, you guys are. I mean, Brother Bruce wants you put in the back of the box so nobody's examining what you're doing. But in Acts 5, Peter's standing down front. They got an offering plate down there, and he's looking at it.
Right.
Is that all that nice? Can you imagine preachers examining your offering? Standing there looking at it. Is that it, Brother Eric? Is that 10%? You hold something about it? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Brother Bruce having to overlook your offerings? Check and see if you're lying? I don't know if I'd like that. Hello? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Oh, we got to get back to the book of Acts, really. Let's get here. Amen. Honey, bring my hat down here. Amen. Look at verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why does Satan fill thine heart to lie unto who? Who is Peter lying to? Huh? But he's lying to Peter. Right? Verse 4. While as it remained, was it not thy own? After it was sold, was it not thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not light on the men, but unto Peter standing in the stead of Christ. Peter's standing in the place of God Almighty. Right? And here Ananias comes down and lies to Peter. Bold face, right in the face, he lied to him. What happened to him? God killed him. I'd like to see that. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be a good way to have revival. Just, and this young man come in here and take his sister out, bury her. Amen. Was that church? What happened to something? Oh, dear brother, how you doing? You lying to the Holy Ghost? Oh, no. Okay. Hey, I need some young men. Go ahead and take them out and bury them right next to it. Wouldn't that be fun? I think we'd have revival, wouldn't you? I'd like to have that kind of power, wouldn't you? I'd like to have the power of sons of thunder. Amen. Call down fire out of heaven. Somebody disagrees, they burn them, Lord. That'd be fun. Wouldn't it be fun to be like the two witnesses in the book of Revelation? Somebody comes up, cusses you, fire comes out of your mouth. Crispy critters. Amen. Praise God. That'd be fun. Amen. I'd go to the White House. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Amen. While you're at it, go get Nancy. I got to talk to her, too. Amen. See if Hillary's hanging around, too. Amen. Hello, Acts 9. Acts 9. Lord, if I'd only known it was you, I wouldn't have lied to you when I gave my offering. I just thought that was Peter. Hello? Amen. Acts 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute against who? Who was Saul persecuting? He was killing Christians. Listen, in Acts 22 or 26, it says he compelled them to blaspheme. Can you imagine holding somebody down and whipping them to the place where you got them to cuss Jesus? Cuss Jesus. You better cuss your Savior. I said cuss them. I said cuss them. That's what the Apostle Paul was having done. And they're blaspheming God. He was killing Christians. And Jesus intercedes on the way to Damascus and catches them and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what God did? He said, what you're doing to my church, you're doing to me. Let me ask you a question, Christian. How are you treating God's children? How do you treat God's people? You know, when you get on your cell phone, do you hear what Sister Salsa did? You're saying
about brother.
Christ.
You're
lying about Christ, your gospel about Christ. When you talk against your preacher, you're talking against Christ. When you stab a brother in the back, you're talking about Christ. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to give an account of God every time you cut Christ with your tongue, or you wounded Christ with your tongue, or your actions, or you helped somebody get out of church by the way you said something or did something. You said, I never did that. I never did that to you, Lord. I would have never hurt you. I would have never done nothing wrong to hurt you, Lord. When did I do that?
Well, you did it this day, that day, this church, that church, this church, that church.
He's got it all recorded, man. You're going to have to own up to hurting Christ.
Right. Right.
When he hurts the church. Mm-hmm. Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts chapter number 13, verse 2. As they ministered to who? The Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I've called them. Who was Saul and Barnabas ministering to? Huh? The Lord. And can you imagine now, let's just shift gears. I got on the people, now let's get on the preachers. Can you imagine standing before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? And the Lord said, hey, preacher, what'd you call me an idiot for 10,796 times? Lord, I never called you an idiot. And what if you called me a ding-a-ling and a knucklehead and stupid? You understand? And you treated me like I was a goat how many times? And you called me a wolf and a hypocrite. And you called me a bunch of ugly. Lord, I never called you that. When did I do that? When you preached to my church, preacher. And when you preached to my people. And when you called them names, you were calling me names. We're going to have fun at the judgment seat.
There's a lot of preachers who will be ashamed when they stand at the judgment seat for the way they treated God's people and the names that they called them. And the Lord took it personally and said, why did you call me that name? Why did you call me a devil? I never called you a devil. Sure you did. I mean, you were out there at the pastor's fellowship sitting around breaking bread, and you were talking about all your church members, and you called them devils. Now, pastor, a bunch of devils down there, a bunch of demons, man. I'm telling you, that woman, she's a witch, right, bro? When did you call my daughter a witch?
Hold on.
We're that fun at the judgment seat, ain't we? God's going to see the way preachers talk to the sheep. And the Lord takes it personal as though you're talking to Him.
You know what that did, Brother Eric? That changed my preaching. I sure don't want to call the Lord any names.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen. Proverbs 19. Proverbs 19. This may view, change the way you view people tonight. Change the way I view things. Proverbs 19. This may help you right here. Think about it. What I'm about to show you, it may change your life if you let it.
Amen.
Verse 17, Proverbs 19, 17. He that hath pity on the poor lendeth to who?
Well, that stinking bum, he needs to get a job. Stinking loser, sitting there on the side of the road, got a sign, homeless. He's just a bum. He's just trying to take care of take advantage of the situation. Who am I to give him $5, $10, give him a gospel tract? Stinking bum. What the Bible says, you lend to who? Poor, you're lending to who? Wouldn't you like to give the Lord a bum? Wouldn't you like to help the Lord? I was downtown dating, and this one guy down there had a sign. He said, I just want a beer. At least he's honest, amen.
Right.
Right? But you never know, man, when you come to help somebody. What if the Lord walks up to you as a bum? You gonna help him? You ever think about that being a Lord? You ever think about the Lord testing you? Well, I got $5. Oh, I got $10. Have you ever loaned to the Lord? It might change the way you deal with the poor now, wouldn't it? Somebody needs some help. Can I park there for a second?
Amen.
You know what's wrong with the church today? We want everything the best for ourselves and give trash to our neighbors. You know, I know a man that worked in the missions down in New Orleans. And those homeless people down there, they're so excited to get bags of clothes. Amen. They got nothing. They're excited to get some bags of clothes. And Brother Hardman opens up those bags of clothes and got a pair of blue jeans with the Crocs blowed out. And that's how much Christians love you, man. The Crocs blowed out. Woo! They dig down in the bag, man. Soiled underwear. Isn't that good? Christians give us soiled underwear. Is that what you do? Give them soiled underwear? What do you think the homeless people think about Jesus Christ that Christians give them torn clothes, ragged clothes, junk? Can I get a second witness, Brother Bruce? How many times have you loaded containers going to the Philippines and they're loading junk? Junk bikes, junk motorcycles, worn out, torn up books and hymn books. And all that trash, and Brother Blue said they'll be happy to get whatever they can get over there. And Christians, I mean, he's coming back and it looked like he was raiding junk stores. We're going to buy brand new hymn books and we're going to give the Filipinos books that are falling apart. They got taped together and Bibles that are running out. They got taped together and bicycles that are broken. They'll take this bike and they'll take this bike and take that bike. And they'll take three or four bikes and finally make one good bike. Praise God for the Christians in America that says it's junk. Lord, I don't know if it was you, I would watch a brand new motorcycle, I would watch a brand new 10-speed, I would watch a brand new 18 streets so you could go tell people about Jesus. God, I would have got you a brand new pair of shoes so you could go walking on the streets and tell people. I would have helped that preacher out, I would have helped that missionary out, I would have done things different. But see, Lord, let's take care of me. You know, I want the best shoes and the best shoe. Amen, the best clothes. And I want everything. I just pass all my hand-me-downs to losers. Isn't it going to be fun standing before judgment seat of Christ? I wonder, that guy that passed all that soil underwear, I wonder how good he's going to feel when he stands before Jesus Christ and says, and the Lord says, you can give me these? In the name of Jesus, huh? See, people don't like real preaching.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You with me yet?
Yep.
Lord, if I'd only known it was you. 1 Corinthians 8. I've hit on this, but you need to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 12. But when you sin so against who? The brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against
Lord. If I'd only known it was you. My mom got wounded by a guy in church. 7'1", 450-pound song leader. He walked up to her, "You little baby Christians, you need to learn to put away your cigarettes." She looked at that guy, his waist was about up to here, poked him in the belly. She said, "What about gluttony, big boy?" He didn't realize who he was messing with, but that offended my mom. She got out. Offended a week. Child of God. She's out. Never could bring her back. And some guy thought he'd trade him out. Some dude comes in, got long hair. "Hey, don't you know, 1 Corinthians 11, 14, same man had long hair. We don't need another girly man around here." That guy's gone. You'll never see him again because he had to have a cookie cutter haircut. Some girl comes in, and I'm not promoting short skirts, but maybe the skirt's just a little different from what you would wear. You ain't got enough prayers, amen, to ask God to clothe her, but you got to come up there and say, "Hey, you know, I don't want you to look like a slut around here. You might tempt my husband." If you're that insecure with your relationship with your husband, man, you need to go home and do some homework, amen? Right? I was walking down on the street. The guy used to be my best man. He's in heaven now. We're walking down the street. He tried to give a gospel tract to this woman. She goes, "I'm saved." And he goes, "Well, why don't you learn to quit dressing like a whore and tempting me with your eyeballs?" That's a real good Christian thing, huh? If she was one of God's daughters, that wasn't very good, was it? He's got to give an account to God about that. You know what I'm saying? He was a Marine. He still couldn't get out of the Marines. He's saved, but he couldn't get out of the Marines. And some guy he was arguing with, and he said, "Sir, see that part of my right hand?" He said, "If you make it down that parking lot, I'll kill you." Isn't that a great thing for Christians? See, people don't think, do they? Do you know how many preachers I know that I've heard call men down out of the pulpit ready to go fight in the flesh? You got to ask your God. Jesus says, "When do you want to take me out back and rearrange my teeth?" I never wanted to rearrange your teeth. Oh, sure you did. You understand? See, we don't think that the people we're dealing with in the flesh, God takes it personal because we're in His stead.
Right.
You know what I realize? When I'm sinning against my wife, I'm sinning against Christ. If I sin against my son or my daughter, I've sinned against Christ. If I sin against anybody in my church, I'm sinning against Christ. God takes it personal. Something to think about, ain't it?
Yep.
Lord, if I'd only known it was you. Let's wrap it up, Matthew 25. Maybe this will change the way you view people tonight from the rest of your life. Maybe you view your wife different, your husband different, your preacher different, your neighbor different, the poor man on the street different, missions different. Maybe you'll look at your employees different, your boss different. Maybe you'll never see people the same again. If you can walk in the Spirit, think spiritually, not fleshly. Look at verse 20, or chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in glory, His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on the right, on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, "Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you and from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye done it unto me, unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then he shall answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to the least of one of these, to one of these least of these, ye did it not to me. These shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Lord, if I'd have known it was you, I'd have went the second mile. Lord, if I'd known it was you, I'd have turned the other cheek. Lord, if I'd have known it was you, I'd prayed an extra hour. Lord, if I'd known it was you, I'd have read another chapter. Lord, if I'd have known it was you, I would have sacrificed more to help out your men. Lord, if I'd have known it was you, I'd have dressed holier and lived holy. God, if I'd known it was you, I'd answer the Macedonian call. God, if I'd known it was you, amen. I would have realized maybe I'm entertaining angels unawares.
Right.
Father, we sure do love you. Thank you for the attentiveness of your people. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to preach revival this week. I pray, God, that some folks were helped. Some folks were challenged. Some folks, Lord, where they've been rebuked and reproved and seen some errors of their ways, they'd have the humility and the guts to confess it and get it right, Lord, that they might not have to sin against thee. Lord, bless now. May you bond homes. May you bond marriages. May you bond churches. May you bond friendships. God, may people realize that so much that you want them to do and so much we're accountable for. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.